Okay, let's get into our next Daf, Shabbos Yerushalmi, Daf Chav Ches 28, Koach in Yerushalmi of Shabbos, and we will start with the top of Chav Ches Amar Aleph, just one or two Ha'aris from yesterday's discussion. Yesterday, I wanted to mention, the Gemara spoke about often forgetting. You forgot to put the, take it off, you forgot to do certain activities. That was yesterday. And today we're going to talk about also about somebody forgetting, before Shabbos, they wanted to remove something. Forgetting, interesting, is a part of life. You know, we forget things. Rav Shimon Shkup, in the Hakdama to the Shara Yoshar, there are a couple of parts of the Hakdama that is quoted. But one of the parts is where he discusses, that this is part of life. But it's really something that we have to energize ourselves from, recognizing that reality. And he discusses the luchos rishonos and luchos shnios. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, the question of many, Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchos, or dropped the luchos, according to one of the, versions of the Midrash. Either way, he broke them, and the question is, what was he thinking? You know, just put him away, get Bnei Yisrael to do tshuva, and then give him the luchos. Why did he dafka break the luchos? So Rav Shimon Shkup explains, because he saw that the Jewish people, and Am Yisrael, and humans, wouldn't be able to deal with the first set of luchos reality, which is, right, it was written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, Maisa Elohim. And therefore, if we would learn any bit of Torah, it would be eternal and it would stay with us and we wouldn't have to persevere and work hard and push ourselves to be able to retain it. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw that without that type of commitment, then Torah is not going to survive. And therefore, he dafka broke the luchos, hoping that there'd be another one, and that was created by man, which means it's not eternal unless I push myself and make sure that it stays with me. And therefore, we are now living in a second luchos era reality, which is that we forget things unless we work really hard to remember it. And that's what we have to work hard in. Shem lamad adam pamachas. If by the first ones, hayas shamur bezichron olam, v'inyan zeh hirgish Moshe Rabbeinu olam shalom, sha'alulai deiz elios chilul ha-kodesh, nora ma'od. Somebody lives a terrible, unethical, unhalachic life. Baki b'kol chadri haTorah. V'laman Moshe Rabbeinu. Alav Hashalom. Bikarim Pesach. Kol benechal yochabo. L'chein mazar Rabbeinu alav Hashalom. Sheroi sheluchos eli yishtabru. Ulehishtadel l'kabo luchos acherim. And then they would be Maisa Adam. Einam eskaimei rak bitznoim. Ugedarim v'chulu. So when we forget, it's part of reality. We have to be like, okay, Luchos Nios, but that just has to motivate us to be able to remember it as much as we can and not just learn it once, but to review it, like the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Sadites, in the Bavli, right? You have that learning without reviewing is like planting and not working and harvesting. So Rav Eino Kotzer. You start a process, but you don't continue it. Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a whole Sefer, a Kuntres. Kuntres Sefer Zikaron, where he collects all of the Ma'amari Chazal about remembering and forgetting. He has a list there of 28 things that are good for memory and 37 things that are difficult for memory. And of course, number one in remembering is reviewing and working hard, right? Besides eating the onions and the other types of unusual ways of remembering, number one is working hard and reviewing. That's the one that comes automatically, right? Tefillah, davening to help remember it. I'm just reading some of the ones that are Tovla Zikaron. Tefillah, he has a paragraph about each of these. Yerushamayim, Anava, Miut Tainug, Shkida Vachazara, Lahotzi Bepeh Uvelilmod Bekol Ram, Lahavin Mashalomein. The more we understand it, the more we're going to remember it. Lomodim Talmidim, Lomo Bebesak Neses, Laasos Simanim. Remember that Gemara in Shabbos that makes Simanim Latar to help remember things. And then you get some other ones that are Rogil b'shemen zayis, Rogil b'yayin b'samim, Hatovel etzbo b'melach v'ochel. Okay, say the bnei papis after the siyum. Okay, there are some skula ones that we don't fully understand at all, but those are the chelik aleph. He has the 28 that are good for memory, and then he has the other ones that are not good for memory. What's the first one and not good for memory? Don't review. That's an easy one, right? That's it. And then the opposites of all the first ones. Gaiva, Ka'as, Da'aga, learning without a Rebbe, right? All of these. Interesting. Rogil B'Zesim is forgetting, and Rogil B'Shem and Zayis is good for remembering. It's good to think about what the difference between those two are. Okay, so that is one. Number two, the other point to mention from yesterday's daf is to review the Inyani HaChazara. Okay, we'll have to get back to it at another point, but remember, in the Inyanim of HaChazara, we have all the different rules of when you're allowed to put things back on a fire on Shabbos. So just to read one simen, one si'if, Reishin and Gimel Beis, Kira Shigrufu Ktuma, that's condition number one. You're only allowed to put on, you're not allowed to put anything on an open fire on Shabbos. Nothing. So if it's a covered fire, that's number one. V'natal kedera me'aleha, afilu b'Shabbos, mutalach zira, kol zman shirosachas. That's number two. The Shulchan Aruch says if it's boiling. So we say, before I explain, that just means even if it's warm, that's what the Ramah says based on elsewhere. Ramah, oda b'yado, number three. Right, as we said yesterday in the end of the daf, putting it on the ground, this has a chadas, and that would be a problem. What about putting it on a counter? So many poskim say if it's a counter that usually might put something on and put something back, then that's not, that does not represent the hesach hadas. Because often we serve and then we put back. So that's ode biyado. V'loi nichal gabe karka. V'dayto lahachzira. And you have a das to put it back. To put it back. This is all, by the way, putting it on top of a covered fire. Putting it in, that's already more chamor. We already had that a couple of days, yesterday or the day before, about the difference between inside a kup, kira and on top of a kup, of a kira. But for Hachzara, for sure, there's more mechzikim avashel, indoors, inside an oven, for example. Like, how do you have a covered fire inside an oven? Well, let's say somebody has a Shabbos mode, of some kind. What kind of Shabbos mode is that? Because, so the oven's gonna stay the same temperature, but the issue of Hachzara could be an issue. It gets into the issue of warming drawers, how hot it gets, v'chulu. But anyway, this is the sodos of Hachzara, Reish Dun Gimel Beis. And we'll leave it for now. Okay, let's continue. There are a lot of details about, like I mentioned in the other show yesterday, but now we have to continue. Says the next Mishnah, second Mishnah here in Maseches Kira, Halacha Beis, Tanur. So we spoke about a Kira, so now we're talking about a Tanur. A Tanur is a hotter Talmudic oven. We described the Kira is like a box, there's room for two pots on top and goes straight down. A Tanur is fatter on the bottom, gets skinnier on top, there's only more room for one pot on top. So it retains the heat even more than a kira. So that's why there's going to be more chomer rules, because there's more of a chash. It's very hot. So tanur, shesikua, a tanur that is heated up with kashing ogvava. So we said in the first Mishnah that a kira that was heated with kashing vava, that's okay because it's hot. There's nothing left. There's no coals that are left. It gets burned up. And therefore, there's no worry about shemiyachata. But a tanur, because it's hotter, the carbon eta says on top, niklat chomo litocho tfei mikira. It keeps the heat even more. So tanur, so even if you heat it with kashing vava, straw and stubble, which kind of gets burned up mostly, still, lo yitain, bein mitocho, bein me'al gabav. So you still can't, leave on it. What do you mean you can't leave on it? It's gonna get burned up! Right, what's the chash? Maybe there's a little bit that doesn't get burned up, there's a little bit on the bottom, and because it's so hot, there's more of a chash. Or, if Chaim Kanievsky says, because it's so hot, if you don't have to cover it, then you might come to not cover even a kira. And that's why, it is more chamer. So any ovens, you gotta cover. Lefisha hevla gadol umartiach, because, says the Rav Chaim Kanievsky, because its heat is very hot and boiling, eido nira kagaref. And even if maybe you would, maybe sweep it, maybe it wouldn't be, remind you, v'asi lahashos al gabi kira, shogachalim v'asi lechatuye. So it could be an extension of a gzera. Kupach, a third type of Talmudic oven. A kupach is in the middle. Kupach is not fatter at the bottom and skinnier at the top like the tanur, but it's like a half a kira. It's like a half a kira. It's like a rectangle. It goes straight up. Room for one pot on top. So it's somewhere in the middle. So kupach sheisiku bakashu b'gvava, a kupach that was heated by kashing gvava. Harayu kakirayim. That's like a kira, to the lakula. Meaning if it's kashing gvava, it does not need to be covered, but begefes of eitzim, how are you katana? But begefes and eitzim, which we said is the psoles of the olive dregs or wood, so then you have to treat more chamer like a tanor, the hotter type of oven, and therefore it's somewhere in the middle. Period. Tanor shisika bakasha begvava vechulu. So the tanor was the hottest. Tani bar kapara afil lismoch lo aser. Even putting it next to the tanor, right next to the wall of the tanor is very hot. So a tanur is so hot, even putting it next to it, that's not allowed. Again, before Shabbos, parshas we're talking about. So, because Gzeira, you might come to touch something if you know it's really hot and it only needs a little bit of moving around in order to create the heat. Rav Shammai Samich, according to our Gersa, La'adera de Tanura. Right, some have the Gersa of La'avira de Tanura. Shammai put it close to the airspace of the Tanura, but a little bit away. Adera is maybe some type of, the Karbonator says, the Chatzir Shel Tanur, within the vicinity. Rav Shammai used to put it in the vicinity of the Tanur, and that was okay, because that was, there was some space there. But Rabbi Mana wasn't happy about that. Amr Rabbi Mana, Vatani Bar Kapar, Filo Lismoch Lo Aser. Even to be Somich Aser, but, you know, Rav Shammai must have felt that it was a distance away, and therefore it would be okay. Yeah, what about Smicha today? What about putting something next to a heat source? So, if there's a fire, if it's a cover, like in the old, like the days of the Tanur, it'll be a problem. But, you know what many do today, let's say you put it on next to a urn. You want to warm something up. Or put it on top of an urn. So, again, if it's not going to get to Yad Sol Ed Esbo, there's nothing to talk about. If it's not going to get to that level of heat, then where you're, you know, just going to warm, putting something in a situation where it's going to get warm is not an issue of Bishul at all. We had a couple of days ago, what about putting it into a place where it could get the Yad Sol Ed Esbo, but I'm going to remove it before it gets the Yad Sol, before it gets to cooking? That was a Machlokas Rishonim. We saw Rashi sounds like it's mutter, but the Rashba and the Shulchan Aruch say that it is usher to do that. Gzeira Durabanan. But putting something next to, where it's going to get the Yad Sol Ed Esbo, so then that's, if it's a real covered fire, that's where it gets into these issues. Most of what we're talking about today is where it is a pot. Let's say it's an urn, it's a chalan pot. So then that's not issues of putting it next to a covered fire, but that's a different heter called kedera agabe kedera, which came with that idea of putting one pot on top of another pot. So that, is a different way to solve the problem of mechzi kimavashel, of it doesn't look like cooking because you never cook with a pot on top of another pot. That's a totally, we didn't speak about that yet in this parak, but that's a different avenue of heter. If I'm not going to be able to put it on, let's say somebody doesn't have a covered fire. You don't have a covered fire. So what do you do? How do you heat something up on Shabbos? So it could be that if you do k'dera agabe k'dera, you have one pot on there from before Shabbos, then you put something else on top of it, or you put an upside down tin on a fire, right? That's on a heat source. And then you put something on top of that. You put something on top of the chalan pot, on top of the urn. All that is a different type of strategy that's not, you don't need the five conditions for those, for that type of issue. That's not putting something on a covered fire. That's putting something on a pot. And therefore, you'll be able to do that even without the five conditions, as long as there's no bishul daraisa there, as long as it's fully cooked. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara. One more issue about next to the oven. Rabbi Mana, Mekil Linishaya. Rabbi Mana was Mekil. He used to get upset and berate the women, Deshatchan Bigdeo Mavira de Tanura, who used to hang up their wet clothes next to the heat of the tanur. Was this before Shabbos or on Shabbos? Unclear. Unclear whether this was before Shabbos or on Shabbos. If it was before Shabbos, so then maybe the issue here is you're heating something up next to, we just said, a tanur is so hot that even sum up to a tanur is a problem. So this is like heating something up on an open tanur, and therefore that's what Chazal say, that Bar Kapara said, even Lismoch Lo Aser. If it's on Shabbos, if Chaim Gadievsky has a couple of days, on Shabbos, maybe the issue is because the water in the clothing is going to get cooked. Right? Let's say on Shabbos, I came back from the rain, and my socks are soaking wet. So what am I going to do? I'm going to put my socks on the radiator. Or I'm going to put my socks on a heat source. That's a problem. Right? A radiator might have the status of a heat source with a fire, some type of halachic fire. So you can't cook the water in your glove or in your socks or in your gloves if you just leave it on the, you know, in the room temperature. That's just drying. That's not cooking the water. But if I put a dafka in a situation where it's going to get evaporate sooner because it is next to the heat source, that's the problem. So Chaim Gadievsky says shamayim shebe begadim mispashlim. Mispashlim, inami, shemi yachata kedei lamahar liyapshin. Or maybe you're going to make it, you're going to stoke the flame because you're going to want to make it dry faster. There was another issue that the Shulchan Aruch talks about. We know there's an Isser Durabanan on Shabbos to hang up wet clothes. This is not next to a heat source. Hang up wet clothes in a place where you normally hang up just dried clothes in the laundry room. Let's say I was soaking wet and my shirt became soaking. So I'm going to put it on a hanger. I'm going to put it into the laundry room on Shabbos. So that could be a problem if there are a number of conditions. Number one, if it's glistening, if you look at it and it looks like it's very wet, number one. And then if you put it in a place, you don't put it on a doorknob where you don't usually put clean clothing. We put it in the place where it's usually you hang things. So that's a Gzeira D'Rabbanan. People might think that you wash your clothes on Shabbos. Right? And that's why you could put it on the back of a chair. Most of the time, it's not so wet that it looks wet. Like you feel it, it's wet. But it might not look wet, and therefore there's no D'Rabbanan there. Shulchan Aruch in Shin Aleph, Begadim Hashruyim B'mayim. Aser lenagvan samach laish. Right, this is our Gemara. This is about putting it next to a heat source. Right, that is a that is a problem. The Mishnah Berurah quotes: is this because of the bishul? Is this because of maybe that's part of the cleaning process to dry? So there's different ideas, and the Shulchan Aruch also quotes there. But the halacha before that, even just putting it in a place where you wash, nothing to do with fire. You could wear them, but okay, so it's issue of libun. We continue. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yudin, Rabbi Shmuel, Hori midochag migrov tanur. Rabbi Yudin, Rabbi Shmuel, midochag in shas atzchak. In cases of difficulty, he allowed his family to sweep the tanur, which we usually said is not enough, but you could sweep it, umit and tlasa keep it, and put three little pegs on the bottom, umir mi aleon, right? We had that earlier. As long as you don't put it on the floor of the tanur, you lift it up a little bit, you lift it up after being swept, that's okay, b'shasat chak. Ubilcho lo yadin migeroyas. As long as the neighbors don't know. What does that mean? As long as the neighbors don't know. So some say that we're talking about a private tanur. We're not talking about a commercial tanur in the stores, in the bakeries, which was much even hotter. So maybe what he meant was the private tanur that people sometimes have at home, the balabayas, so they could have a little more flexibility. So as long as it's not public, like that's what it means, that the neighbors don't know, it's not a public one, right? The carbon aid, the babachlo yedu mizeh hashchenos, shalo yakilu bi surei Shabbos. Right? Again, usually we say, Marasayan is also, I feel, as I just read, even in private, b'chad b'chadarim. So maybe this isn't a Marasayan issue. This is more of a zilzul of Shabbos issue. Of, the tanurim in the bakeries are usher. So this tanur technically is mutter, but it's a zilzul of Shabbos if people know about it. And maybe it could lead to confusion. And therefore, that's why it says, it shouldn't be done in public. Rabbi Yossi just adds, b'shabbos atamalech acher haseko, ubetuma atamalech acher gifufo. We know in Hilchas Kalim, there are different types of Kalim that are Mekabel Tumah, not Mekabel Tumah, and there are different stages of Kalim. So the Mishnah, in Kalim, in the fifth parak, they talk about different types of ovens. So there also, Tanur Ki Rekupach comes up. So in our Mishnah, the Kupach is somewhere in the middle, right? Depends on what it was heated with, right? So that's what the first line. This Shabbos, when it comes to Shabbos, Atam Halach Achar Haseko, you go by the material it was heated with. That's one shot. Meaning, what did our Mishnah say? If it was heated with Kashin Gvav, it's like a Kira. If it was heated with Gevaz and Eitzit, it's like a Tanur. So you go after Haseko. Ubituma atmahalech acher gifufo. But regarding to Tumah v'Tahara, there are different rules about when is the final stage of Gemar Malacha for a Tanur, for a Kira. So what about a Kupach? So a Kupach, it depends if you put a rim on it. Gifufo. That's what the Mishnah is described there in Kalim. Because if you want to bake with it or you want to cook with it, some of them have a rim, some of them don't have a rim. So that's how you would determine a kupach. If it has a rim, if you make it for afia, then it's more like a tanur. If you make it like bishul, it's more like a kira. So you look at the Mishnayos there, and Rabbi Yossi is just noting that different areas of halacha have different definitions for the kupach. Okay, next Mishnah. I'm not allowed to put an egg next to an urn, a mecham. Let's say a mecham is what we call a kli rishon shehusar me'al ha'esh. Right? We haven't discussed too many categories. There are many sources of heat in halacha, in Hilchos Shabbos, and in Hilchos Kashrus. Fire, something on a fire, that's kli rishon on a fire. Once I take off the kli rishon, off the fire, that is still a big source of heat. And one can still violate Bishul Daraisa, even if you're not on the fire anymore. Pashup shot. That's what we hold. Right? So, Rabbi Yossi, the Tanakhama says that, let's say I have a pot that I took off the fire. I want to put an egg next to it to get cooked. That's a problem. That could be bishul daraisa. The egg is not cooked. So don't put an egg next to a mecham. Bishul shetiskalgel. Tiskalgel is some type of, maybe it rolls in a certain way once it gets cooked. That's the lashon of the Mishnah. Right? The carbon eidah shetitzle ksas shetay mugulgelis. V'loyev gena besudarin. Or heating an egg, or in a beged, in a type of material. That also is a problem. Afgana besudarin. Again, the carbon eidah. Lo yishabrena al sudar shehucham bechama. Kedesh shetitzle mechomo shel sudar. So it gets heated. So that already might be a little different. The first case of mecham, that's what we call toldas ish. It's toldas ish, meaning it was a pot that was on the fire that was taken off the fire. The sudar is, according to the carbon eidah, something that was heated in the sun. So he's heating the sun, toldas shemesh. That's also, that's derabanan. That's derabanan. Told us Eish is Daraisa, could be Daraisa, told us Shemesh is Darabanan. Cooking in the sun itself, the Gemara says this interestingly in Shabbos, cooking in the sun itself is Mutar on Shabbos. If I would cook something in the sun, but cooking something that was heated by the sun, that's also Darabanan, because I might get mixed up with something that was heated by the sun, with something that was heated by fire. And that's where the Gemara says, Yafe Koacha Ben Mikoacha Av. Right, the son, S-O-N, is stronger than the father, S-U-N. Right, because the son, S-O-N, the Tolda Sashemesh is even more Chamor, it's Asa Drabana. Rabbi Yossi is Matir in both of these cases, as we'll see. Rabbi Yossi holds the only Isser of Bishol is only in the sun, in the fire. Not even by Tolda Shemesh, Ish. That's how Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the Gemara says it, but you look in the Rav Chaim Kanievsky, third wide line. Svir alei dein Bishol ala koshin is Bashol ba'ar atzmo. Aval Tolda Sha'or Sharu. That's Rabbi Yossi. Don't stick something in hot sand, so that it gets roasted in the hot sand. We'll have to see. Is this before Shabbos? Is this on Shabbos? We will see. The people of Tveria wanted to get some hot water. So what did they do? They set up this system that they had a pipe that went through their hot springs on Shabbos. So the cold water goes through, I set it up before Shabbos, it goes through the hot springs, it gets warm as it goes through the hot springs. Have you seen and shall sewn in, but the Chamash shall chamin. Amalev Chacham, the Chacham said to them, in Bishabbos, if you set this up on Shabbos and the water went through on Shabbos, Chachamash yuchmu Bishabbos, so it's like water that was heated on Shabbos, and you can't use it. Vasur berchitzu b'shtiyo, like we said, that's Maisa Shabbos, as we said. Ve'im b'yantif, Chachamash yuchmu b'yantif, and if it was on yantif, when you're allowed to warm up water for certain purposes, you could use that to drink. You can't use it to wash. The Gemara will explain why. Why can't you use that to wash in this case? Mulyar Hagaruf. Now we have two types of pots, Talmudic pots. We'll have to see exactly how they are structured. But some type of pot where you have coals around it or coals under it. So Mulyar Hagaruf, a raked out Mulyar, Shosinan of Shabbos. You could drink from that on Shabbos. Antichi, but an antichi, we should groove each other, but not an antichi. We'll have to see what these two are. You can't put the egg next to the urn, the hot urn. Taman taninan. We learned in a Mishnah in Trumas. We had back in Trumas. We're going to parallel a Rabbi Yossi in Trumas to Rabbi Yossi here. Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah says, real cooking is only done in real fire. But anything that is one step removed is not called real cooking. And therefore it's going to be mutter on Shabbos. So he's going to say something parallel in Trumas. Tapuach, Sherisco. If you have let's translate tapuach as an apple, even though it might not be a Talmudic apple, but a tapuach that was used for leavening. It was used for a leavening agent. So let's say you have tapuach Sherisco. You have a tapuach of Truma. According to many Rishonim, that's Darabanan. Remember, according to the Rambam, it's Daraisa. Even all fruit are daraisa truma, according to the Rambam. So tapuach shirisko v'nisal tzelcha isa. I have a crushed up tapuach that I put into a dough to leaven it. To leaven it. And that tapuach is truma. So it's less than 1/100th. So it should be batel. Ah, but it causes it to leaven. So it's not batel. So says the Mishnah v'chimsa rezu asura. That's usur. Right? Pnei Moshe here quotes the Mishnah that we had. Kala machametzu misbashel osir b'kalshu. Right, if it leavens the mixture, then even if it's less than 1/100th, it's not batel. Tani Rabbi Yossi Matir. Rabbi Yossi is Matir. Why is Rabbi Yossi Matir? Because Rabbi Yossi holds that the type of leavening that a tapuach does is a defective type of leavening. Right, it's not called a real leavening. It's what we might call on Pesach Chametz Noksha. Right, it's not regular leavening, and therefore, bittul applies. It's less than 1 to 100. Rav Acha, Rabbi Yevo, b'shem Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, ma pligin. What's the whole machlokas? B'mechabitz b'meimav. If you're using a pulp or the juice of this apple, that's where the machlokas is. Avo ma'mechabitz b'gufo. If you just use an apple, then Dibri Yaakov Mota, everybody agrees that that's not going to be do real leavening if you don't have any crushed up apple. So now the Gemara explains its point. Rabbi Yosi Kedaita, Rabbi Yosi is lishitaso. It's consistent. Kamadu Amar Taman, Ein Chimutzo Barer, just like in the Trumas case, he says, if it's not perfect leavening, I don't call it leavening, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Kainu Amar Hacha, Ein Tavshilo Tavshil Barer. If it's not going to be cooked in a fire directly, mamish, that's not called full cooking. And therefore, it's going to be mutter on Shabbos, right? And we do not paskin that way. We skip the next line because that line really appeared on yesterday's daf. What's it doing here? Good question. So we skip. But once we're talking about, now we're going to comment about the second part of the Mishnah. What did the second part of the Mishnah say? Putting food into sand. So the issue there to heat up, the issue there isn't just bishul, but the issue is, let's say, again, in the days of old, you didn't have ovens or refrigerators, so sometimes you use the ground for cooling and for heating, or refrigeration. How do you keep things cool? You stuck it in the ground. So what happens if I stick things in the ground before Shabbos for cooling or for heating? The problem is, how do I get it out? Mitzad muksa. Dirt is muksa on Shabbos. So if I stick something in the ground, I have to make sure that some of it's sticking out in order to be able to handle it. So, and we're going to get to that. That relates to our Mishnah that discusses that case. That's what Rav Chaim Kanievsky says. What is the following doing here, which we had back in Zraim? Because one of the reasons that you're not allowed to put it in the sand is because of muksa issues. So here too, we're going to relate. Paga shetamna b'tevin v'charar shetamna b'gachalim. If I have a paga, an unripe fig. Unripe figs will get ripe quicker if you stick it in straw. So let's say I did that. I stuck it in straw before Shabbos. Paga shetamna b'tevin v'charar shetamna b'gachalim, or a type of little cookie that I stuck into coals. Coals that are not lit anymore, because if they're lit, then moving them is an issue of either lighting or extinguishing. We had that a couple of days ago. So let's say the coals are still hot, but they're not lit anymore. So again, it's just an issue of muksa. So if some of the fig or the charara was sticking out, then I could pick it up on Shabbos. And if not, I can't. Why can I pick it up? Because I'm not moving the muksa directly. What's muksa? Muksa means you're not allowed to move undesignated items on Shabbos. A huge topic. Hopefully we'll get there in the second half of this parak. By the way, I'm talking more about muksa. But you're not allowed to move muksa directly. So if I take out the items, even if some of the muksa moves indirectly, I didn't move it directly, and therefore that's called tiltum and atzad, and it is allowed. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoy Omer, it's one form of tiltum and atzad. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoy Omer, benkach benkach tochi b'shmod. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoy says, no, I have another way you're allowed to. You could stick a toothpick or a pole, stick a little shpod into, even if the fig is underneath. I'll stick a pole in, a stick in, ubisakin or a knife in hotel, and then take it out that way. Because I'm also not directly touching the muksa in that way. Asked Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoy, Rabbi Shimon, and the Gemara says, this Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoy must be like Rabbi Shimon Shita. Rabbi Shimon, the famous Rabbi Shimon Shita, who says, Dover Shini Miskavin on Shabbos is mutter. Something that is not done with kavana, and it might or might not happen, is mutter. What's the classic case? The Gemara quotes the Tani. Do not drag. One is not allowed to drag a bench, a chair, a rocking chair, a comfy chair on the dirt. Because you're going to make a hole, a furrow. Rabbi Shimon's matir. Why? Because that's dabar she'eno miskave. The Mefarshim wonder here, is our case of muksa, is that Darvashim Miskavin? Isn't that Sikresha? Right, what's usually the chilak? Darvashim Miskavin means I do act A, which might or might not cause a malacha act B. So that's mutter, because it might not happen. Sikresha means if I do act A, vadai causing act B, that's asr, daraisa. Sikresha. Rav Shimon is motive of Sikresha. Where I said that 5 times. So what's going on here? Isn't this, so one of two options. Either this is a case of not, it's not a psik resha. Maybe if I get it out, maybe the muksa stuff is not going to move. Maybe it might or might not move. That's why it's mutter. Or maybe the Yerushalmi here is different than the Bavli. Maybe Yerushalmi is holding a psik resha delo nichale, that I don't really care about the movie, or delo ichbas le is mutter. Yerushalmi shita, here. So I'll have to do more research, for shitas of Yerushalmi about psik resha. There's a lot more about that, about psik resha, but, I have to leave it for now. Rabbi Ba b'shem Rabbi Chuna, Rabbi Chaga b'shem Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Ila, modim chachavim le Rabbi Shimon, b'kisei sheragla b'shikos betit, shemutelo taltelo. The Chachamim, which is Rabbi Yehuda, Pashas, would agree to Rabbi Shimon, where you just have a chair that's already in the mud. You're just removing the chair from the mud. You're not making any new holes. You're just moving the chair out, and then the holes are just going to remain. That's mutter. That's mutter, Rabbi Yehuda would say there. You can remove a chair leaving exposed holes. Leaving exposed holes. And the Gemara adds, Kamod Atamar Mutter Lataltalo, the Dichvasi Mutter Lachzira. You can also put it back in those holes. Because there, you're not making any new holes, you're just removing or filling up, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda, the Chacham, would say there, that would be allowed. Okay, we'll have to stop there. I'm Rabbi Yossi, the show will continue next time.